This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From London, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Standard.
Families today will heave a sigh of relief that we are firmly on track to bring inflation down to its target, 2%. This is the lowest headline rate for 2.5 years, but most encouragingly, food inflation, which was nearly 20% a year ago, is now just 5%.
That's the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt's take on the situation, as inflation has dropped to 3.4%. According to the Resolution Foundation, the drop was the fastest 12-month fall in inflation since 1978. It's a more positive outlook for 2024 and represents the progress made since inflation shot up to 11% in October 2022, hugely impacting the cost of living. UK food and non-alcoholic drink prices hit a peak price rise of 19.1% in March 2023, which was the highest rate of increase in food prices since 1977. However, the rate at which prices are going up has been easing. As Mr. Hunt said, it's been led by a decline in the rate of food inflation, which hit 5% today, down from 6.5%, the 11th consecutive monthly fall. In response to the drop, the Chancellor hinted that it could allow the government to bring down national insurance even further. So, it appears things are looking up. But how long will this decrease in inflation continue? And when will we start to feel better off? To find out, I'm joined by financial journalist Michael Hunter. So, Michael, ultimately some positive news today. First of all, how significant is this latest drop in inflation?
It's definitely grabbed the attention of the city. It wasn't exactly enormously unexpected, John. We saw the fall, which is the biggest in 5 decades, and that was more or less in line with expectations, taking the rate at which prices are rising to 3.4%. So that's quite some landmark as the Bank of England's battle to fight double-digit inflation from the aftermath of the war in Ukraine, which peaked in October 2022, is really kicking in.
And what are economists sort of attributing this latest drop to? I suppose it's part of a sequence of months of inflation dropping, obviously, but is there any signs of what might be the cause?
Very much so, John. It's really clear that food prices are very much the main driver of this particular set of data. So we've seen a fall in the prices charged in pubs, in restaurants and in grocery stores, supermarkets around the country as that energy shock from the invasion comes out of wholesale energy markets and through onto prices being paid by the consumers. So that's the real big driver of the trend that we've seen today, taking us to that 5-decade landmark. And looking ahead, it's quite interesting, of course, energy prices themselves are going to be more of a factor as the price cap gets reviewed in April and then also in July. So the city economists are also pointing to further falls in the measure of CPI inflation, consumer price index inflation, which is going to take it probably to the bank's 2% target, the Bank of England's 2% target, sooner rather than later now.
And is this latest drop also a sign that the Bank of England's tactic of hiking interest rates is working?
Yes, it very much is exactly that. You can see that the bank's medicine is working. And the bank policymakers will also tell you that if it isn't hurting, it isn't working. So there has been pain as a result of all of this. You know, the rises in the mortgage market, the slowdown in the mortgage market that's been caused by these interest rate rises, making loans and borrowing more expensive and making people's pay packet stretch less far, have also hit the economy and its growth rate, as well as bringing those prices, those runaway prices that we saw as high as 11.1% in October 22, as well as bringing those down, they've taken us within the dreaded technical definition of a recession. So that pain that the economy is going through has shown up there with two quarters of negative growth in the jargon, or effectively the size of all the goods and services produced by the economy shrinking for two quarters in a row. Now, most economists will also tell you that it's very likely that that's already been left behind by the UK economy, which will return at the next few readings to its usual problem, which isn't shrinking, but just having a very lackluster, anemic and unimpressive growth rate.
And the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, is obviously happy with the news today, and he's hinted that we could see further cuts to national insurance later on this year, sort of as a result. How big is this for him and, I suppose, his plans should the Conservatives remain in power?
Well, national insurance will resonate with economists and rate setters, of course, because it's effectively a payroll tax on everybody who's got a job. And so that money finds its way into the pockets of workers pretty quickly and then on into the tills of the country and the high street pretty quickly as well. Of course, that can in effect be an inflationary contributor. So the bank will be keeping a wary eye on that. We know from minutes of the Monetary Policy Committee, which meets next time tomorrow, that they're watching sticky looking wage growth, and NI cuts will be very much part of all of that. Politically, of course, for the Chancellor, it's pretty good news in that it shows that his neighbour in Downing Street, one door along, has met at least one of his pledges to halve inflation. Although, of course, it's primarily the bank's job to do that. So how much of that mission has been completed in Downing Street is perhaps another question.
Let's take a quick break. In part two, will we see a drop in food prices anytime soon?
We're not suddenly going to see our shop become cheaper, but we will see the rate at which it goes up moderate.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
And you referenced, Michael, the 2% inflation target the Bank of England sort of aiming for before it begins to drop interest rates. How close do you think are we to A, reaching that figure, but also then the Bank of England making the decision to cut interest rates again?
Well, I don't think the bank is strictly limited in its intentions to only taking action on rates once it's hit 2%. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. So the bank has got to see a nice, clear glide path for inflation to come down towards that target and then to remain around that target where it hasn't been for a while. But it could well take action before the target is hit. That said, the city experts that we speak to at the Standard on a daily basis think that in the next couple of months, the target is looking eminently takeable. That will be very good news for Governor Andrew Bailey at the Bank of England. In terms of the outlook in the city, where a lot of money moves around pricing these kind of actions from central banks, a lot of collective wisdom on the markets is given over to keeping a close watch on this. It seems almost certain that we will not have action tomorrow when the bank meets.
And when that moment does come, Michael, and the cost of borrowing goes down, will it spark quite a bit of movement in the economy as obviously loans and mortgage rates come down as a result?
I think it's quite likely that we will see a flurry of activity straight away. It does tend to depend a little bit. There's a step between Governor Andrew Bailey and the Monetary Policy Committee's action and how those costs are immediately passed on to mortgages that have yet to be agreed. That's called the swaps market. And we've seen the swaps market run a little bit ahead of where the city has been comfortable with it recently. And that's taken new mortgage offers back above 5% on a typical 5-year payment horizon. So they've been drifting down along with these expectations of a third quarter rate cut. Now that's moved forward a bit more specifically to the summer. We're looking at August now. But they came back a little bit as if that process had gone a little bit too far. So it will take a bit of time for the market to feel its way through all of this. It's not as linear and as straightforward as it might seem sometimes. So while it is likely that banks will come under significant pressure, high street banks, to pass on any changes to existing mortgage holders pretty quickly, the way in which those products are priced for people who have yet to sign up might take a little bit longer. But whatever else, I think the days of peak interest mortgage rates and all of the economic implications that they have are moving away and are moving into the rearview mirror now.
And it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because obviously high interest rates is good news for savers. There's always a bit of a balance to be had, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. Savers, I think, feel a little bit left out to this day from some of the interest rates that are offered on savings accounts. But of course, the very business model, the absolutely essential business model of incremental banking depends on mortgages being more expensive to secure than the returns which are made on savings accounts. Without that margin, there'd be no banking system in the way we understand it. But yes, there are, of course, implications for savers from falling interest rates. Also, there's a large number of people who tend to feel a little bit left out by some of the analysis around this. It's people, and there are many millions of them, of course, in London, who are renting their homes. The rates that are offered to mortgages for buy-to-let properties can also be a little bit more expensive and take a little bit more time to reflect the changes that the Bank of England will see. So people renting will be keeping a close watch on that. And that typically can take a little bit longer to percolate through the system as well. But the overall message, I think, is in the same way that the cost of living crisis was led very much by high energy costs, which have clearly come out of the economy here and more widely, the same is now happening with interest rates. So for people renting their homes, people owning their homes, anyone keeping up those kind of payments, anyone changing around their financial architecture in the next few months, the worst of this crisis is moving behind them.
That's it. And I mean, a lot of people will be saying things like the food shop is still expensive, fuel is still expensive at the moment. Does this sort of mark the start of prices coming down at all?
Well, of course, what we've been talking about is all a slowing rate of increase. So prices are not dropping in any way, shape or form with any of this. The overall blend of the way the Bank of England tracks these prices will detect when some of that happens, when those market mechanics do kick in. But overall, the blended outcome of all of this just shows you that the rate at which prices are rising on a year-on-year basis is easing, is cooling back. So we're not suddenly going to see our shop become cheaper, but we will see the rate at which it goes up moderate. And of course, many retailers who have been competing very closely on price during the cost of living crisis and during the times rates have been going up may have a little bit more breathing room now. You may see some more spending on luxuries. The hospitality industry is expecting to benefit as people loosen the poppers on their wallets a little bit more, maybe on the way home after work, celebrations around birthdays and big events. Easter will perhaps get a little bit of a boost from some of this cheerier news flow that we're seeing. One of the big figures in the hospitality industry, Jonathan Neame of Shepherd Neame, who have 43 pubs in Greater London, about 300 in the southeast, was speaking some very bullish words to the Evening Standard today, expecting Easter to be good and the upcoming summer tourist season in London also to be beneficial. But of course, another part of all of this is where it will leave the pound. The pound's been doing very well. It's been very strong lately. Traditionally, a rate cut, or the outlook for one, will keep a currency coming in, coming down a little bit on the wholesale financial markets. That may actually help the outlook for summer tourism in the capital.
Pick up the Evening Standard newspaper for more news, interviews and analysis, or go to standard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We are back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.